D-H-Z, go!
I used to say I'm the boss. They've hit at the most. They're doing real good, yeah. I would say they're the boss. They bring real information. If you don't know, I'm Set Nation. Dropping knowledge on the daily. Really?
Really?
These boys bring it on real.
Recording live from the SEC Sports Pub, here's Heath Elson-Son, Tomas Mauricio, and your host, David Romero.
That's us, man.
Hey, hey, hey. What? Say what?
People still get confused.
I'm telling you, it's easy to get confused.
Uh-huh. Saints. Yes, and B-Boys.
It's bonus. We get to play the Donkeys three times.
You know, they know what's real. And I leave everything else out on the field. I prepare the right way. I have a mentality. I have a standard that I set for myself.
Tell the truth. Tell the truth.
Cam fumbled the football late in the fourth quarter when Von Miller stripped it away from him again. But rather than trying to recover the football, Newton took a step back.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
That was the play that put the final nail in the coffin. Apparently, Newton's explanation for not going after the football was his fear of getting injured.
And I leave everything else out on the field.
Tell the truth.
I don't dive on one fumble because the way my leg was, it could have been contorted in a way. Okay, you say my effort. I didn't dive down. I fumbled. That's fine.
Tell the truth. Tell the truth.
But we didn't lose that game because of that fumble.
You can't handle the truth.
You know what I'm saying? I'm here to win football games.
Tell the truth.
I never once offended anybody.
Tell the truth.
And I'm a loser.
And the truth shall set you free.
That's right, baby. I mean, that's almost like two intros.
Yeah, I like it.
But no, man, we get the bonus donkey coverage this week. That another Cam Newton sighting. We got to talk about it. We're going to bring back flashbacks, Tomas. All the donkey entertainment that you want. Now, on the negative side of it,
yeah,
the Saints dropped the game.
Well, you know, I was really angry when it happened. I was upset. I was, you know, I had some issues. But, you know, as I started to think about it, I was like, dude, we were 0-2 at the beginning of the season. We had three seasons of 7-9. What can you be upset about when you have 11 wins in a season and you win the division? I mean, I'm good. No, let's move on now and see what happens next.
It couldn't have played out better. Now, depending on how you look at it, because now you know Philadelphia's been playing really poorly.
Yeah.
If we win the number three, in other words, if we'd have won, the Rams lost, we'd have had the number three seed. Then if we take care of business the way we should have, then there's really good chance that we're heading to the Vikings. And the Vikings, to me, they're the best team in the playoffs right now, at least in the NFC side. There's no doubt in my mind. They're not as flashy as the other guys, but to me, they're the best team, all-around team left in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Now, instead, if we take care of business, which we should against Carolina, we should be going to Philadelphia, which the way they've been playing is kind of
we'll see.
Bonus.
I'm not, you know, going to count my chickens.
I'm one game. Call
at
them
time.
Dead on
we
arrival.
Got Carolina up first. I don't care about the other game. I'm caring about Carolina. We knock Carolina out, I'm good. And then you have the Falcons and the Rams. You know, don't be shocked. Don't be shocked that all of what McVay did comes back to bite him on the behind.
I would
watch Falcons knock them out in this first round. And then all that, well, we saving this guy. I'm just telling you, because, you know, you can't count the Falcons out.
No, listen, I'm feeling the same way. The Falcons, they have a good defense.
Yep.
If they make a few plays here and there, I think the Rams.
In trouble.
Here's the only thing, though. The Falcons will have to do that cross-country traveling.
Yeah.
And listen, if they're anything like me, you know, I'm not a big fan of flying.
I'm sorry to hear that.
I don't even turn on that little vent above your head because I feel like I'm diverting power away from the engines. So,
dude,
yeah,
really?
I get a little nervous when I'm up there, man.
Nah.
Hey, let's get this show started.
All right, get it started. Turn
and then
on the jet engine,
we have so much to talk about. So much to talk about.
All right.
You ready? Get on that jet airliner.
Come on.
Tonight on BS and Beer Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, it's the Action Suspense Airline Highway at 9:30, followed by this year's award-winning suspense thriller, Camp Beast. Next, it's hilarious family fun suitable for all ages with Drew, Sean, and Mickey. Then, it's Sex in the Cell Block, the hot new show that's too racy for daytime. That's Sex in the Cell Block at 11 tonight. Then, it's Saints Talk with Dave, Tomas, Heath, and the BS and Beer podcast crew. Every night here on the BS&B Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, a limited liability corporation.
All right, so listen, for those of you who don't we don't talk about this enough, Tomas.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
The actual, I got the money right here, the big winnings.
Woo-hoo!
Listen. Yeah,
that's some serious.
That's cash money right there.
Now those aren't Benjamins.
No, these are 50s because I think I'm gonna have to go back to the first show and remember how we broke it down. So because I want to have more than just one winner this year.
Okay.
Yeah, excluding you because I know, I know that you up there, but the fantasy. Listen, this year, you know, we did some things, cut some corners, put some money away. Got $150 sitting here for the winners. Top three, I believe it is.
All right, well, I'm going to give you the top three.
Okay, top three. So who's in the money right now?
Just this week. With 10 correct picks was The Bridge.
The Bridge.
That's correct. He had 10 correct picks for this week. With 9 correct picks is the guy who doesn't qualify for any money.
Oh, so it might go 4 deep. Now, who's that guy?
That would be BS and Beer Tomas.
That Tomas, oh, man.
The guy with 8 picks that were correct this week.
You know, I've been surprised how little you've boasted. You haven't pat yourself on the back much.
Well,
I've been giving you a hard time, too.
Lord Boudreaux.
He's always up there.
Yeah.
He must do this for a living.
And actually, there are 2 other people who had 9 besides me. Yeah, besides me, we have 2 other guys who had 9. That's Who Dat 2017, and 4 Netflix and Chill. So all those people had 9 right. Anyway, you got the idea.
Yeah. So we just want to give
a big drop off for people.
A little pat on the back to those who are this week did pretty well. Let everybody know we're still going through the playoffs, but the cash money has already been put aside.
That's right.
It's been allocated.
That's right. Now I'm going to give you the overview.
Okay.
Here are the total numbers.
The big boys.
Number one. Lord Boudreaux.
He's right there.
He's at number one.
Every week he's there.
Tied at number 2.
Okay.
Would be BS and Beer Tomas.
Uh-huh. Of course.
And The Bridge.
The Bridge.
That's right.
Okay.
The two of us. Okay. Then we have Rob 22278.
Okay.
Then we have Who Dat 2017. For Netflix and Chill. The OGHB. I have to know what the hell that is.
You know, somebody's going to have to email us and explain all these names.
The OGHB.
Listen, okay. We're going to do this. Call to action. If you're one of the guys, Tomas, thank you for interrupting my train of thought there.
All right.
But email us if you have a name that there's some meaning to it other than you just had to pick your birth date at the end of your name. If there's some meaning to it, email us at bsandbeer@icloud.com.
Really like
some of this stuff,
OGHB.
Has to be something to it. And if, as long as it's.
See, some of the other ones are easy. Captain Cheesy. All right, we got another 7 and 9. It's easy to figure that out.
All right. Hey, it's Carolina week. Let's do a Carolina commercial.
Now from the makers of Camifed comes Camifloss. Camifloss.
Are you like me and enjoy fresh breath, clean teeth, and looking like a complete moron?
Camifloss.
Do you find yourself saying, I'd like to floss at a more inappropriate time, but how can I look more stupid?
Camifloss.
With Camifloss 14-gauge wire, you get to the hard-to-reach places of your goat or donkey teeth.
Camifloss.
So the next time you're sitting in a board meeting, the sidelines of an NFL game, or maybe the keynote speaker of a Pee Wee Herman dress-alike convention, you can reach for Camifloss. And even though you might look like a jackass, you don't have to feel like one.
Anyway, hey, listen, it's Carolina week.
What's the magic word?
We got more where that came from. We got more where that came from. Don't go anywhere. It's the BS and Beer podcast crew. Dave Romero, Tomas Mauricio. Yeah, Sports here. Talk 97.7. We'll be right back. All kind of action to talk about.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
Boogie down to the playoffs.
Man, you know, I got to dance on my chair. You can't just, you know, you got to dance. You got to feel it.
You got to feel it. You got to just let it just slide in there. That's good stuff. Welcome back. It's the BS and Beer Podcast crew. Dave Romero and Tomas Mauricio on Sports Talk 97.7.
The Blowtorch.
The Blowtorch. Listen, we have so much stuff to talk about. It's kind of, you know, look, playoffs are coming, but there's some things, the end of year summary kind of stuff. For instance.
Like what? Give me a hint there, Dave.
The 1,500 yard club.
Yes, sir.
Mark Ingram.
Here, here.
Kamara.
Here, here.
These guys are just, I mean, from running the ball, catching the ball, all around impactful players.
Yep.
And I'm so proud of him. I'm proud of Mark Ingram because, man, you know, he did start his career off pretty slow, and he's built it up. As seen by the fact that it took you a while to warm up to him.
That's correct. That's correct. That's correct. I wasn't on the bandwagon for the first couple of years. I thought we had wasted a first-round draft. Plus, we had moved up, gave up stuff to get to him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I'm proud of Mark Ingram. I think that he has made himself.
Yeah, he's developed
complete
himself.
Player.
Absolutely.
And so I'm proud. Now, you know, you're talking about these numbers. We have two 1,500-yard backs. We have a 4,000-yard quarterback and a 1,000-yard receiver. Dude.
Man, so the thing about it is there still is an element missing, Tomas.
Oh, yeah. Don't have to tell me.
I'm
it's coming up in the good, bad, and the ugly.
In the offseason.
Yeah.
I'm going to see this offense. I guarantee you, and I know you're going to agree with me because this is something you've been saying for, I don't know, 6, 8, 10 weeks now.
Yeah.
Is the offense is missing a guy in the middle of the field. Now, I not that I disagreed with you, but I wasn't like, it's got to be a tight end. I was like, it's just got to be a guy that takes some of the pressure off of
Mike Thomas.
Thomas.
Yeah.
But I don't know if
who's that guy?
I do believe that a big body tight end that catches first downs, because if you had to pick one weakness of the Saints, I would make a strong argument that the weakness of the Saints is their third down conversion.
Absolutely.
We run the ball, we make big plays, we get but when we don't, when
now,
we don't get that gash
for you. I have another statistic for you.
When we don't get that gash, when we you know, we get an 8-yard run, then we get a 15-yard run, and then we get a 12-yard pass, but then we get a 6-yard run and we get stopped. And it's third and four.
Yep.
And we just don't consistently convert that third down when we should. And part of the problem is you double Thomas. And now don't get me wrong, Kamara is a impactful player.
Beast.
But they are looking for him now. He is no longer surprised he's not catching anybody. Right. But if you doubling a now Pro Bowl receiver in Mike Thomas and you focus in on Kamara, there has to be that one more. And listen, I like Ginn. Ginn does exactly what we thought he would do. He's a vertical. He's the Devery Henderson. He takes the defense vertical, stretches it out, he's done well catching the ball.
He can take him, stretch him out, but he's a step better because he can also run several other routes.
Absolutely. So. Now, so if we want to debate that, though, what Devery could do that Ginn doesn't seem to be able to do because he's a smaller guy is the blocking aspect
of
it. Devery was a tough guy, and I don't know if he got – Meacham was too, and they didn't get enough credit for those things.
I agree.
But having said that, I agree with you because Devery wasn't as elusive as Ginn. Right. So, you know, I guess one strengths and weaknesses of each player.
Ginn can cut corners very sharply on his patterns, where Devery couldn't. Devery rounded him off more. So, but yeah, that's right. Now, the statistic I had for you.
Well, let's hear it.
All right. So, yes, they're not very good at converting third downs. But did you know?
Did you know
that the Saints have the fewest third down opportunities?
Now, I saw that. So, that says something too.
You know, that's another part of the equation.
Okay,
so they're only 40%. But 40% of how many times?
Yeah, but the thing about it is 40%, they'd be leading the league. They're much lower than that.
Yes,
I don't have that number up. I should have looked it up.
Yeah, it's less than 3 and 10.
Yeah,
so it's like 27, 20, something.
Yeah, they're in the mid-20s somewhere in that area. And puts them somewhere in the lower mid part of the
However, on fourth down, they're like 100%.
Yeah, so what they don't make on third down, they pick it up on fourth.
Yeah, and like I said, and they go fewer than other teams. Yeah. So
they have less opportunities. They're making more plays. They're converting more first downs on first and second down. Yeah. Having said that, when they do have the opportunity, they're not converting them as much. So to get back to the original point is in the offseason, I believe the first move that they're going to make is to solidify another offensive skill player to help convert. Now, that's all said. We get into the playoffs, and Sean Payton opens up that playbook, goes a little deeper than we expected. Now, all of a sudden, we start seeing things we haven't seen. Maybe that's just a home run, me hoping that somehow, like I said, I've been waiting for Willie Snead to have the breakout game. And now I'm thinking, well, in the playoffs, they're going to unleash. It's not going to happen. We are what we are now. And that doesn't mean that Willie can't be more of a part of it.
No.
But all of a sudden, we're not going to start converting at a 40%
rate. Second year in a row that I'm in third place in one of my fantasy football. And why? Because Snead scored 0 points, three consecutive, until finally I said I had enough. 3 weeks of zero, I'm taking them out.
Not going to do it for
but
you.
But those 3 weeks were critical. You know? So I understand it. I sat here last week and I thought, okay, surely we're going to see Snead more involved. But I'm not going to give away what my good, bad, and my ugly is. So we'll hold on my rant.
Okay.
So we'll hold on.
Okay, so maybe we just go ahead and jump right into that good, bad, and ugly.
Oh, you want to do that already? Hey,
you know, it's time. It's time. Let's do it.
You're a bounty hunter. Man's got to do something for a living these days. Dying ain't much of a living, boy.
It's time for good and the bad and the ugly.
All right, Tomas. Well, listen, we lost 31-24, so there's going to be some bad to talk about.
Yeah.
But there's some good stuff, too. Matter of fact, there's some really good stuff that you look forward to going into the playoffs.
Well,
so let's hear your good first.
All right, here's my good. At least we had no more major injuries on our player. In spite of my bad that's coming up, but at least we didn't have any. Calamente, you know, look, the bottom line is our guys are kind of beat up. But everybody's team is beat up.
Yeah, everybody's injured.
You know,
this
so Calamente came out. He went back in. You know, okay. Overall, though, as many hard hits happened in that game, because there were some hard hits in that game, we didn't lose anybody.
Right.
So I'm happy about that. That's my good for this particular game. No major injuries.
Well, and that's a very good because to me. If the Saints don't go as far, I guess, okay, right off the bat, in order for me to say one thing, I kind of explain the other. I expect us to be in the NFC Championship game. That's where I expect it. The problem with that is I don't know if we can get any further. And the reason is because I have a hard time envisioning us beating the Vikings, and the reason being all the injuries. At some point, you just can't lose. I look at the Vikings, and they have not lost major contributors. We
only
have
one.
Lost.
Only two.
Okay.
They've lost two people. Delvin Cook, their
number
one
running
draft
back,
choice.
Right.
Okay, so that was a hard hit on them.
Yeah, pretty good hit.
But Murray has come in there and done an admirable job. I mean, a really good job.
Right.
You know? And then they lost Bradford. And again, I think they're better off with Case Keenum than they are with Bradford, to tell you the truth.
Well, and that could be a whole other argument, but the fact that you can make the argument, talk to the guys in Philadelphia.
that's what I'm saying to you.
I mean,
you know, if you look at it, Minnesota had the perfect setup to have, you know, a backup quarterback in place who actually, he's played really good quarterback. You know, it wasn't like, okay.
No, it wasn't a Houston, and that was my point. You know, it's not like in Philadelphia.
Houston loses Watson, and then you're like,
okay,
who's
the wheels
play?
Come off the wagon.
Yeah.
So not only has Minnesota maintained, but you could even argue that they've gotten better.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So now,
cohesive,
who knows? That's subjective.
Yeah.
But the point is there's not a noticeable drop off.
Yes. Yeah.
So I'm struggling with, you know, the loss of, okay, even prior to the season starting. Losing a guy like Fairley, but then you lose Vaccaro, you lose Okafor, you lose Anzalone.
Anzalone.
I mean, you just lose too many guys, and at some point, you know, we're still a better defense than we were last year, but the oomph is kind of missing. Now, I think what equalizes the whole thing is the home field advantage. The Saints in the Superdome with a crowd, and especially it's going to be late Sunday, man, that crowd is going to be amped up.
I hope so.
Won't be able to hear anything.
I hope so.
And it gives us the advantage on the snap count. It gives us all kind of advantage. So I see us not only because of that, but I'm just not impressed. I don't see how Carolina can score enough points.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and I know we're kind of getting off the thing. And then where I'm going with this is that I think we beat Philadelphia in Philadelphia because of the type of offense we run. And
so what's your good?
So my good has to be, again, Kamara. He comes in not only.
Man, it's, you know, the obvious, dude.
I know, but still, like, okay, obvious that offensive, the 1,500-yard guy.
Oh, well, yeah, okay.
Yeah, and then he comes back, and it's like, hey, you know what? Our return guys aren't doing anything. Hey, Kamara, can you do it? He hesitates.
Yeah. Bam. Should I run this out? Nah, maybe not. Wait, yeah, that, maybe. Yeah. Oh, hell, I gotta go.
And then, again, effortless. No need to ask. He's a smooth operator. That boy is smooth. Effortless. Listen, I know he's obvious, but I think this is
so
a little bit something
falsetto,
different.
Brother. You know, huh? You had to get
no,
falsetto.
You know I have no falsetto, man. That's not me. That's you. That's you. You right. grab the midsection there and get all high. I can't do it. Yeah. But, and again, Kamara, yeah, obvious. To the NFL, he's obvious. He wins the
he's going to be
rookie
of the year.
he's going to be fighting with, well, okay, offensively, but then he's going to be fighting with Lattimore on whether or not he's going to be the
overall
rookie of the year. So
now, I'm figuring Kamara offense, Lattimore defense, and Kamara overall. I'm thinking there's nobody else. Tell me another rookie. You know, the guy in Kansas City, Hunt, he came out really strong, and then, you know.
And then, but he's come on strong late. And
well,
so now they're
catch up.
Well, I'm just simply saying.
With the
saying,
kind of experience. And
he
now,
actually, he led the league in rushing.
But now you've got the kickoff return. The excitement.
I agree with you. And that's the thing that's going to put him over the top.
Yeah, and on that particular, I've watched it like 10 times. Here's the thing I have to tell you. Once he got past everybody, you know, they talk about how, oh, this guy's got an extra gear. No. Kamara has the low-end drive because he's just that gate, nice, long. It doesn't look like he's going fast, but there's nobody catching up because he's like in seventh
Nobody's
gear,
closing.
Gear.
No, you're right.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, he's running that ball down the sideline, and I've said this all year, and now I'm sounding like a broken record. He does not look fast.
No.
It's just so fluid.
Is.
Oh, yeah. Nobody was closing the distance on him. No, not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all. All right. So let's switch gears. Let's head over to
the bad.
The bad.
So it's connected to my good.
All right.
No one got injured, thank goodness. In spite of the fact that Sean Payton pulled a bonehead out of his butthole.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
You know, look, if you want to give the opposing team some film to look at, because I know this is what it got to be. Okay, we're going to play now in the playoffs. They haven't seen this. Okay, we're going to fake it to Lutz. Then you instruct Will Lutz. Brother, if you see you don't have it, just fall. Just fall on the ground. The shot he took, I was like, oh, my God. Are you serious? We're going into the playoffs. You're going to get our one really quality kicker that we've had in a long time. You're going to get him knocked out for what? So, to me, that was the bad.
Yeah, absolutely. You get the guy hit, knocks him. I mean, think about the years that we've tried to find a serviceable kicker.
Yeah.
And you have this guy running, you know, whatever it was. I mean, let's say.
Okey-dokey play, you know.
For a minute there, maybe not a minute, maybe a second there, I'm like, oh, he got it. It's blocked up.
Hey, he got
and
no
it just
speed.
Shows you. Like, it shows you all the fans out
I
there.
I run faster than he does,
man.
And I'm 62,
the
for God's
fans
sake.
Out there have no true idea until you've stood on the sidelines of an NFL game. Obviously, I've never participated in one. But covering the Saints, I've been on the sidelines of several games. And until you get down there, two things. You have no idea how violent the game is.
Absolutely. I've been there.
Your
yep.
basic tackles that you watch on, like, oh, I'm marking them around the side. Oh, boom, they go down. In real life, standing right there where they're only 20 yards away from you, you hear the percussion. You can feel it. And then you hear the, like, I mean, and then they pop up. And you just do like, oh, my God. And the second thing is the speed of the game. And that was an example. Lutz runs like you're regular Joe high school athlete.
Yeah.
The guy that played football in high school who says, man, I always want to get, I wonder what it'd be like. That's what it would be like.
Exactly.
You're looking at wide open field. Uh-huh. There's a guy getting blocked, and then all of a sudden out of nowhere comes a linebacker running 4-5 and takes your head off.
Yeah.
And but back to the point, Tomas, we've been searching for a kicker way too long. We finally have one that's solid, listen, he's missed a few here and there, but I think relative to what we've had in the past, I think he's an excellent kicker. And the last thing you want him to do is get hurt running a silly play.
Exactly.
Here's the other thing. Okay, so we talked about the speed of it. What in the world made anyone, whether it was the special teams coach or Sean Payton, think that guy had enough speed to make any of that happen?
Well, like I say to you, I think basically they were just trying to give Carolina or whoever they were going
to
face
something
else to think about on film study.
Absolutely.
You know, and so, okay, you gave him something else, but man, that was awfully close to being a boneheaded play.
Absolutely. All right, so my bad, and I'm not sure if it's bad or badass.
Badass.
But you have Coach Payton after the game shaking hands with Coach Cotter, and I didn't see it originally, and I saw some people posting on either Twitter, or Saints Report.
Bunch of them on Twitter.
And they were like, nah, they were just, no. They shook hands, they were smiling, but both of them were like, well, I don't think Cotter was, but Sean Payton was smiling and smacks him, like gives him the old pat on the chest, but damn near put his hand through his chest. And I don't know who wasn't letting go. I think Sean Payton just wanted to make a point, say something, and I think Cotter held on to his hand.
I think so.
So they go
I
to separate, so. And it's like, ugh! And then now Payton comes back and they smiling. But you can see, you know, the people on the internet, they refuse. When Sean Payton gave the choke sign, people refused to accept or admit that was just, you know, Sean Payton doing something that was inappropriate. This, again, people are like, no, it's friendly. That was not friendly.
No, and if you hear the actual the soundtrack behind it, there's some salty words coming out of Sean Payton's mouth.
Absolutely. And so
I just like though that he smacked the heck out of him in his chest.
Sean Payton is just a feisty little, but now here's the thing is that's 2 weeks in a row, was it, or 2 out of 3 weeks where he has a little problem. Hey, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio and the BS and Beer Podcast. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
Sugar-free, gluten-free, fat-free, talent-free, and free-free, the BS and Beer Podcast.
Welcome back. It's Dave Romero, the BS and Beer Podcast crew. I'm on the line with John Hendricks of the Canal Street Chronicles. John, it may not have been the ideal way to do it, but the Saints lock up the division. They win the NFC South, and they're moving on to the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, it's not ideal because last thing you want to see is see him giving up a last-second touchdown and having flashbacks to 2013, 2014, and all these other games that come to mind. But, look, I mean, you know, it still worked out to your advantage. It still worked out to your benefit. Went in the division, first one since 2011, back in the playoffs since 2013, first time since 2013. So, you would have liked to seen a lot of those things get cleaned up that were in the game, and hopefully it's not an issue because third down defense was atrocious. Offense had some bad moments. And look, we're at the time where this team has got to play their best football.
Yeah, sometimes I wonder if it has more to do with regardless of the situation, the opponent's a weaker opponent. You feel like, and maybe this is a learning thing for the young guys, because sometimes that mentality, you could just coast your way through it and pick up your W, because quite frankly, that's how I felt about it. They were just going to go in there, pick up their W. I felt like Tampa Bay would have their loading vans, their moving vans already loaded up, ready to move back home, and quite frankly, they didn't. And for the last 3 weeks, they didn't. They played Carolina tough, they played Atlanta tough, and they ended up beating the Saints.
Yeah, you alluded it to it, and, you know, that this wasn't going to be an easy game. And we talked about it, too. It's just saying that, you know, it wouldn't say crap game, but at the same time that it's not one that you can just sleep on them and say, hey, we're already in the postseason, because there was other implications that could have been there, and they could have jumped to third, they could have jumped to fifth, and potentially been on the road this weekend. But, you know, again, it worked out, but the concerning parts is – the pass rush, you know, it looked like it was just a hair late. Teams, this is a team that I saw that double-teamed Cam Jordan to take him out of the equation. At the same time, if that's going to happen consistently, you got to get somebody else that's going to get that pass rush and get to the quarterback like Cam Jordan. Alvin Kamara, you can't say enough good things about him. It's tough beat seeing King Crawley getting beat like that at the end of the game. And then just so many other things that were – man, if they only just did this or that, then we're talking about a win over a loss. But, you know, look, short-term memory, Saints are in the playoffs. They finished 11-5. They got Carolina on their plate coming to town, and that's pretty much what all that matters right now.
Yeah, one of the things, and I find it interesting, but one of the things that people are talking about is the Saints may have accidentally put themselves into a better position, because had they won the game, they'd have been the third seed. And if they win, that means they're heading to the Minnesota Vikings. But now, if they win, and that's assuming that the third seed now, which is the Rams, that takes care of business, they'll be heading to Philadelphia, which right now Philadelphia seems to be limping their way into the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, Nick Foles is did not look good on Sunday against the Dallas Cowboys team that I guess didn't really have much of anything to play for. But, you know, that's he just looked off, and Eagles' offense looked lost. And, you know, this is two straight games after being so toted so high with Carson Wentz out of the equation and him coming in and, you know, essentially performing and doing a slam dunk. So, look, I think with that one, it's all going to be about the Eagles' defense, and if they can give opportunities to Foles and the offense to make a short field, that's really going to be the way that they get themselves a victory. But with the Saints, obviously taking care of business first, if you go into Philadelphia, I feel pretty much a lot better about that than having to take on Minnesota, who, you know, has quarterback controversy of their own with Case Keenum playing very well, then Sam Bradford starting to practice, and you got Teddy Bridgewater on the bench. So, pretty interesting combination there up in Minnesota, but I take Philadelphia on the road 100 times before I go to Minnesota.
Yeah, right now, and another thing, maybe in years past, we may have been a little bit more reluctant to want to play outdoors in Philadelphia where, you know, it could be really cold or it could even be snowing, any of the elements. But now the way that the Saints team is built slash what they are now, they're a power running team with a control of the ball control offense.
Yeah, I mean, and that's going to be the key. You know, they didn't have Teron Armstead for the game against the Buccaneers. And obviously, he's going to be, you would assume, he's going to be totally ready to go this time around. And, you know, I think the way they've patched that offensive line, Ryan Ramczyk and Larry Warford have been stable. Max Unger has been absolutely crucial to their success. It's just that left side that has just always been a kind of a makeover, if you will. And now you got Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram against a real tough Panthers front seven. And look, I think that they can bring some wrinkles to the game that can really change how this is going to go, because Luke Kuechly, Thomas Davis, all those guys, Shaq Thompson, you know they're going to be keying in on Ingram and Kamara. So if you can get Drew Brees the right pass protection, make sure he finds and goes through his progressions and his reads, I think this is the way this Saints offense is going to be able to move the ball effectively. Not saying that they can't get Kamara involved or Ingram or their ground game, but look, they got to get out of 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9 situations, and it's going to start with that ground game. But same breath, Drew Brees is going to be imperative to be the Drew Brees like we know in the playoffs.
Absolutely. And you know what? One of the things, it does seem like every year that we're in the playoffs, Drew Brees just does take it to another level. He just seems sharp and in control, regardless of whether we won, because I remember going up to Seattle. Drew looked really sharp, despite the fact that we lost the game. It was nothing to do with Drew. Matter of fact, I cannot recall a game where Drew played in the playoffs, and I'm talking really slowly as I'm trying to remember. I can't recall Drew Brees playing poorly in the playoffs.
Yeah, you might go back to, what, the first championship game in 2006. Maybe that's the only one you could think about against the Bears. That might be the only game that comes to mind that where he wasn't, like, vintage Drew Brees.
Right.
But other than that, no, you're right. On the road, he's playing exceptionally well. Philadelphia, the game they had in 2013 playoffs, he was good. The game before that, he was good. And, you know, I don't have a problem seeing Drew Brees not playing up to par in a playoff setting. You know, for Sean Payton and his team, he's 6-4 in the postseason since he's been there. This is going to be a time where you really got to turn another gear. And thankfully, we're going to see this in the Superdome, and I feel that this crowd has to bring it even more, another level above what they did against Atlanta, and that's going to be a tough one to match.
It's those intangibles, John, that you just mentioned, you alluded to, is the crowd noise, the atmosphere. Matter of fact, the difference between the Saints playing Tampa Bay on the road this past weekend and the week before when we played Atlanta at home, it's palatable. You can feel the energy, and the team feeds off of that. So one of the things going into this game, I don't think that you're going to have a lackadaisical crowd. So I think that's going to have a huge effect on the game. And at some point, Carolina is just – now, as opposed to last time, they will have their tight end back. Greg Olsen is a huge factor. And while I don't think he'll be 100%, and I don't think he's been 100% since he's come back, he is a guy that the Saints have struggled with in the past. But I just don't know how watching the Carolina offense, including Greg Olsen this past weekend, I just don't know how they're going to move the ball consistently enough to score.
Yeah, I think that's a big thing here because Cam Newton, he chose a real bad game to go perform so dismally or abysmal. So I don't know that he'll have a repeat performance that bad against the Saints. I feel like they're going to study the film and they're going to see what works. I'd expect Dennis Allen to bring a lot of blitz packaging. I expect him to look at some of the film against the Packers as a more of a litmus test too, just to see what happened with the Panthers offense. But at the end of the day, it's Cam Newton. It's going to be on his shoulders, and like we've seen, he can bring it and sometimes he can't bring it. And for him to not be able to solve the Saints' defense yet, that's going to be a real interesting matchup to take a look at and how they actually are going to be able to move the ball.
All right. Well, John, one last thing. Give me your prediction to the two NFC games. We have the Rams are playing Atlanta, which is obviously another NFC South team, and the Saints playing Carolina. So, first of all, the Rams-Atlanta. Give me your brief thoughts on that.
I think the Rams are going to take that. Atlanta will be out quick. I just don't see Matt Ryan and Julio Jones and those the offense carrying them, because the Rams, led by Todd Gurley, just can gas them on the ground. And I know Atlanta's defense is really kind of the better part, if I had to say it. You know, they're part as opposed to their offense. I just don't see them matching up particularly well against Los Angeles at home. And I feel like Jared Goff and Todd Gurley, all those guys, with their, them actually being in a playoff setting is going to be a big advantage for them too. And I feel that, Los Angeles, they won't cruise to victory, but I'm thinking they'll probably put up at least 30, 34 to, let's say, 26 is what I'd say for that game. And then as far as the Panthers and Saints, again, I don't see a blowout or a cruise to victory. I think Saints are favored by, 5.5 or 6.5, if that's the case. I think there's something to winning 7 straight at home. I think there's a lot of things in the playbook we haven't seen from Sean Payton yet that we're going to see on Sunday. Personally, I think that the Saints put up 32. I think it's 30 to 21 is what I'd say for this one.
John Hendricks of the Canal Street Chronicles. John, you come in every week. Great insight. Always appreciate it. Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you after a big win next Sunday.
All right, man. Thanks for having me.
All right. Take care, brother. That's John Hendricks of the Canal Street Chronicles on the Graffiti Hotline. You, too, can be part of the Graffiti Hotline. Call 701-901-1295. Leave a message. We put you on. We listen to what you have to say. We respond to it. It's lots of fun. Or you can follow me on Twitter at SaintsBS. Always enjoy talking to you guys out there. And there's always the old way, the less fun way. And that's email. And you can reach us at bsandbeer@icloud.com. Don't go anywhere. We have another segment coming up right away. Talking more Saints, playoff action, all the stuff that makes it fun. Dave Romero, BS and Beer podcast crew, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the BS and Beer podcast.
Remember the dog in me. All right, I just got a notification from my Fitbit. I still got another 1,686 steps to go.
Man, you better get on a stick, brother. It's a new year.
I know. That's what I said. I set it up. But listen, maybe if I was up there.
Now, next week, I'm telling you, I'm giving you a heads up. I'm going to be feisty next week.
Why is that? Oh, you're starting
I'm
your diet.
A diet, bro.
Starting a diet, yeah. You got to get lean and mean. And
no alcohol. By next week, it'll be a week of no alcohol.
And hangry. That's what
right.
You get. You
and
get
no
hangry.
Carbs, no sugar.
Yeah, I can't do it. My diets consist mostly of moderation. Every once in a while.
No, I got to go hardcore for these 30 days.
Yeah,
man.
Every once in a while I'll do this 21-day fit where it's just all,
that's what I'm doing,
portion small. And I'll do that when I really need to get. But most of the time I go on a moderation diet where I don't eat junk
days,
during the week. I just do it during the weekends.
That's my maintenance diet.
Right.
Monday through Thursday. And then I can, explore a little bit on Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Right.
But, no, for right now,
but that's your New Year's resolution,
that's
right?
That's what I have to do.
Speaking of New Year's, we didn't even bring it up. So, no, this is the first time in a long time
yeah.
that I haven't been out on New Year's. So I'm at home hanging out with the fam, and I'm watching the ball drop and the thing. Did anyone see Britney Spears? Now, Tomas, I asked you a little earlier. It came up in conversation. You said you saw it. And you,
yeah, I love the version of Toxic that she did.
Right.
I really liked how they slowed it down. But look, she puts on a good show. But the bottom line is, dude, she's dancing and she's not dancing on the beat.
No, she's flailing around. I'm like,
what is that?
She looks smoking hot, right?
Yeah,
and then,
yeah.
But here's the thing.
Yeah, she's a good looking woman.
And if this doesn't tell you something, like you go to a club or something and you know, and there's a smoking hot woman and then she gets out there dancing like Elaine from Seinfeld and she's like kicking her thumbs up and kicking her leg. I mean, or you remember True Lies with Arnold Schwarzenegger? Have you ever seen that movie?
When
his wife was now recruited and she's dancing on the pole and she's trying to. That's what I was sitting there, my eyes are wide open and I'm mortified. I'm like, what is she doing? I had no idea, and I don't spend a lot of time watching Britney Spears videos or whatever. But I saw this and I'm like, oh my God, it's tragic. The woman has no rhythm.
But that's her big Vegas show.
She's
raking it in.
Absolutely.
Sell out night after
you
night.
See that name and people are going to go. But, I mean, she reminded me of the old lady in church sitting in front of you and clapping. Okay, babe, it's supposed to be a rhythmic type thing. And she's just up in front, hands flailing around, clapping. It was bad. It was so bad and it was funny. It was funny. All right, so check this out, Tomas. I know there's been a lot of people debating the, Armstead. Teron Armstead, he's been injured quite a bit. But the debate has been, would we be better without him getting somebody who's maybe not quite as good? Because the implication is that he's very good when he's healthy, but he's not healthy. I ran across on Saints Report some statistics that I thought were interesting, and I want to give credit to SFIDC3. And he went and gathered some information, and here we go. Average rushing yards per game with Armstead, based on the 10 games or so that he played most of the game, 155 yards a game. Average rushing yards without Armstead, 86.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Ingram per game with Armstead, 87 yards and 12 touchdowns. Mark Ingram per game without Armstead, 42 yards and 0 touchdowns. Now, I think all those things, one more, 31 points a game with Armstead, 22 points a game without. When I saw that, again, I'm a fan of Armstead, not a fan of how injury-prone he's been, not just this year, but throughout his career. But when I saw those, it's pretty eye-opening that while, we'd have to dig in a little deeper, you might find out in the games he didn't play, we played against teams that weren't as good, or what's the defensive rankings, but on the surface, looking at that, it makes sense when you have Pete, who I feel is significantly better guard than he is tackle. It's great that we have a guy like Pete because when Armstead does go down, he can slide out and he's a serviceable tackle, but he's a dominant guard. When you have a very good tackle in the game in Armstead, healthy, playing, and a dominant left guard, it shows the difference it makes in our offense.
Well, I see. I think you just answered your own question. When Armstead's in the game, you have Pete at guard. So there's the 1-2. Now, if you say, well, Armstead is a 10. Okay. Pete is a 8.5 at tackle. Okay, I'm good with that. But you say Pete is a 10 at guard. So that means that when we have Armstead and Pete, we got two 10s in it.
Absolutely.
Now, you swap Pete over, got an 8.5.
Right.
Now you're bringing Kelamenti, who is a 6.5.
Right.
Now what happens is that those numbers are not just because Armstead's out. Those numbers are because Pete is out too.
Absolutely.
See, because you shift them over to tackle. So you've gone from 20, if you're just looking at numbers, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you look at numbers, you say, well, you got a 20 when the two guys are in there, Armstead and Pete. But when they're not in there, you got a 15. Okay, so you've just dropped 25% of your.
I'm sorry, I couldn't completely follow you. I had to take my shoe off to get to the math where you at.
Okay, I'm sorry.
But in general, I understand.
You're taking a good player
out, you have to put in a average. And listen, I do like the fact. I mean, it's all predicated on the fact that Armstead is continues to get injured. But having said that, we're fortunate to have a guy that can slide out. Not many people can lose a left tackle and then just keep.
You see, but if he slid out, let's say he's an 8.5. If he slid out and we could replace him with an 8.5 at guard, it'd be a lot better. But see, Calamente is not the guard.
No, he's not the same. We talked about it before, the difference between the length and the girth.
Yeah. Yeah. Because if you say that Pete is a serviceable tackle, then what are you gonna say about Calamente at guard? He's not even serviceable then. He's just usable.
Right. And so that means to me that this fellow who did the data, I think he just looked at it when Armstead's in, when Armstead's out. He didn't take into consideration that when Armstead is out, so is Pete.
Right.
So you actually have, you know, if you had somebody, you could place, leave Pete at guard and have somebody come in who was serviceable
right.
at tackle, then you wouldn't have those same numbers.
So, and I don't know if that's what he was trying to imply, that it's all on Armstead, but the point is that when Armstead's not in the game, while we do have a serviceable maneuvering that we can do to have a serviceable left tackle and a serviceable guard, we go from, and I think your analogy was great, we go from a 9 and a 10, to which is 19, to like a 7 and a 6.5, which is the whole left side of the line, all of a sudden is not as good, which affects the entire offense.
That's
so
correct.
Whether he meant it as just Armstead affects all these numbers or the effect that Armstead being out of the game has, either way, it's obviously a big effect on the entire team.
Yeah.
So now I'm pretty confident, based on some preliminary things that I've heard, that Armstead will be available for the first game in the playoff. I'd have a hard time believing he's going to miss it unless his leg is falling off.
Yeah, but, I agree.
But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised to see him on the injury report, see that maybe he might, they might keep him out a little bit longer.
Well, he's going to be on the injury report simply because he's injured. Everybody's going to play injured.
Well, and that's what he's been doing. And, the big deal has been made about Armstead and being a warrior and fighting through injuries, and I do appreciate that. And we're stuck either way. And I hate to say stuck with a great player, but we stuck with a great player that's injury prone. So we need, to continue.
Well, here's what we need to do. We play Carolina. We get up ahead of them. You know, we put a best offensive effort out there. We get up ahead of them, and then you can rest. You can rest Armstead.
Well, and you hope that happens. Here's the thing. I don't anticipate. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I do think we have favorable matchups. But, man, Carolina's a good team. Carolina is
All
a good team.
All you have to do is stop the donkey.
Maybe
you
so.
Keep the donkey in the box, and we can win this game.
And I believe we will win this game. I just don't believe that we're going to have another blowout. It's hard to imagine a team that it is and it isn't. It's hard to imagine you're going to blow out a team that's won 11 games and has played as well as they are. Having said that, all you got to do is watch Carolina play, and you can say, man, they have no offense.
No
offense.
None.
The only difference now, they can have Olsen.
Olsen this last week, and they still didn't have offense. If it's not for Donkey Boy running the ball, they have nothing.
Atlanta has a good defense. So I want to give Atlanta credit. Having said that, where we are injured right now in the linebacking core makes me a little worried about whether or not we're going to be able to stand up. Here's the thing, though. I don't think Olsen is 100% either. I think
nope.
He came back. He's ready to play.
Yeah.
But anyway, hey, it's Dave Romero. It's the BS and Beer podcast crew, Tomas Mauricio, Sports Talk 97.7. We come back, hour number two, more Saints talk all night long. Hey, don't forget to download and listen to hour number two. And if you like the podcast, don't forget to like us, friend us, follow us, and let the rest of the world know that we're out here. We appreciate you guys.